Aspiring young musicians often struggle to participate in their school's orchestra, marching band, or other music classes because they simply can't afford the instrument. But there are programs that distribute free instruments to students so all young people have the opportunity to perform. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to discuss the importance of access to instruments and an instrument drive called Music Matters Ohio are Music Matters Ohio State Director Bruce Garfield. Thanks for being here, Bruce.
Thanks for having me.
And School for the Creative and Performing Arts harp teacher Joseph Redman. Welcome back, Joseph.
Thank you.
Great to have you both here. Bruce, tell us about this new statewide initiative, Music Matters Ohio. What's the idea behind it?
Well, of course, the idea is to be able to service the schools and students across the state, putting instruments in their hands in their programs. There are 9,671 schools in Ohio, and that's comprised of over 6,000 preschools, 3,700 elementary schools, 2,300 middle schools, and almost 1,500 high schools. Those students need the enrichment that music can bring them. And our job is to help that along.
Bruce, was there a particular event or student's story that inspired this drive?
Well, I served for 7 years as the executive director, the first executive director of the Columbus Music Commission. I was one of these kids. When I was growing up in the Bronx, New York, my family were not of very many good means, could not afford to buy me an instrument. And through a program, which was then a pilot program in the New York City Department of Education, I was afforded a trumpet. It was basically donated to us. And that education allowed me to flourish, and eventually I got into the music business, though I had no idea that would be connected to that trumpet until many years later. And taking over the position at the Columbus Music Commission, we had no programs. I would visit a school and realize that they didn't have any instruments in the school band room. I mean, this was a charter school where 75% of the kids lived below the poverty line. And the principal told me that the one class they care about the most is when they get into the music room, which was so sparse. So I initiated that program. And in one week, each of seven summers, we collected and donated over $500,000 of instruments. Donna Collins, who's the executive director of the Ohio Arts Council, 2 years ago, she said, well, why don't we take this darn thing statewide? And here we are now.
Ah. Well, Joseph, you're a harp teacher at the School for the Creative and Performing Arts here in Cincinnati. Harps are expensive. I mean,
oh, yes.
Trumpets are expensive, but harps, that's a whole other level. Do you have students who have a hard time affording their instruments?
The vast majority of my students do not have access to an instrument. This year, I had 38 students and zero own an instrument. Mm. There are three who are renting, but other than that, the rest of them, nothing.
So what kind of help is available to them right now?
We have been very fortunate at SCPA. We are not just locally, but nationwide, one of only seven public schools in the entire country to offer a harp class.
Wow.
And here in Cincinnati, we are very proud that we have one of these. Not New York or Chicago or LA, Cincinnati has one of these seven programs. So we are very fortunate to have lots of support. I'm finishing up my ninth year teaching at SCPA, and during my time, I have seen 20 harps donated to the school.
20 harps?
Mm-hmm.
And do the vast majority of those stay with the school? I mean, so that they're there for the students to use?
Yes. So we have 14, the 14 best harps that stay in the building. So they're used. The kids are divided into six classes. I see all six groups every single day. So during the school day, we use the 14 best harps, all the kids all day long. And then beyond those 14, the rest of the harps are available to be taken home.
Wow. I bet that's quite an ordeal just to get a harp home.
Yes.
We're talking about the importance of access to musical instruments and an instrument drive called Music Matters Ohio. Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. We got an email from Nicholas who writes, I was in band from elementary to high school, played trumpet. Music in the arts is a critical form of development for many students. Well, thank you, Nicholas. Sir, there's another vote for trumpet. So, Bruce, is the lack of access to musical instruments greater in some parts of the states than others, or is it spread all over the place?
Well, there are areas in the state that are some underserved and some not served at all, depending on the economic makeup of that region. So, I mean, there is a scale, a sliding scale. And our job and our mission is to distribute those instruments throughout the, the schools that are most in need.
Mm-hmm. Well, Bruce, so many families are struggling even just to afford the basics right now, groceries and medications and putting gas in the car. Is that part of your rationale with this?
Of course. In fact, I say that the first programs to feel the edge of the budget-cutting acts are always music in the arts. So that's our goal, basically, to make up for that deficiency. And of course, the cost of an instrument, whether it's to the individual family or the schools, increases just as much as our grocery or gasoline prices.
Sure. Joseph, talk a little bit more about the difference those donated harps make in your classroom to your students. You've got these students divided up into all these different classes. It sounds like that means each student gets to play his or her own harp or an individual instrument rather than having kids doubled up on them. Is that right?
Yes. So if we look at this in kind of two different directions, on the higher end, back in January of this year, we just received a very large donation of money specifically to buy a professional level orchestral concert grand, which I have multiple high school students who are talking about wanting to go to college for harp. But if you go to college, they expect you to already know how a concert grand functions and how it feels. And that was an area where we were a little bit behind of how these harps really felt, being used to it.
And how much is a concert grand harp?
So the one that we just got, the best harp we've ever had, was $25,000.
Holy moly.
So for these underserved students who can't afford to buy their own harp, having the option of at the school. Now, it can't go home, has to stay at school,
yeah.
But multiple of them either come in early, come down during lunch, stay after school to have not just class ensemble time, but also practice time on this professional level instrument to prepare them for what it would be like at college.
That's got to make you feel good as the teacher to see, I mean, kids don't show up early to school for a whole lot of things.
Second that bell rings, they like to leave.
That's
so
right.
Seeing them stay after school, some of them even like an hour and a half just sitting there playing harp.
Wow. Well, Joseph, we heard Bruce talk about his personal experience growing up in the Bronx. You had some personal experience with this when you were a student too, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah.
So for anyone local listening, I grew up in Finneytown, small area just northwest of the city limits. And I had a similar story of, as a kid, I wanted to play, didn't know it was an option. But then Finneytown schools said, actually, we have a harp. It's really old and dusty, but we have one. And I actually played that harp from fourth grade all the way through senior year, used it to death. It wasn't until my sophomore year that my parents finally were like, okay, we got to figure this out, and finally bought me one. But those first six or so years, it was like, oh, that's like 10,000 bare minimum. We can't make that work.
Well, that's a car. I mean, that's,
Yeah. So if Finneytown Public Schools had not had a harp to begin with, I probably wouldn't be a harpist.
Wow. What was it like the first time you got to play that harp? I mean, do you remember that feeling?
Oh, yes.
Take us back to that.
So it had not been used for at least a decade and had sat. So the orchestra director at the school, a violist, she couldn't play or teach the harp, but because of playing in the wedding gig world, she knew a harpist, Michelle Gwynn. So she called her up and said, I got an old harp and a kid who wants to play it. Can you come fix it up and teach him? So she came down, tuned it all up, made sure it was all functional. And then they brought me in and she played for me Linus and Lucy, the theme song of Charlie Brown.
Oh my God.
And I was hooked instantly. And a few years later, she taught me that song. And that was a huge draw right at the beginning of, oh, this is awesome.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. We got an email from Jim who writes, instruments that get donated can need a lot of repair and that can be very costly. How do you do this and who pays for these repairs? Bruce, I'll start with you. I'm sure you get some donations where the instruments aren't in perfect shape.
Well, gently used is probably the best way to describe what we're looking for other than new. It's a lot less expensive to repair an instrument that requires just minor repairs than to buy a new one. So all the instruments are assessed for usability, the level of repairs it may take. And we have several music stores throughout the state who are volunteering to repair instruments. And individual schools have budgets, but we'll assess those instruments as they come in and they're sorted. Those that are beyond repair will find an ethical way to dispose of them. Maybe we'll find some sculptor that's working with metal and, you know, provide those. But again, it's less expensive to repair an instrument that doesn't need major repairs than to buy a new one.
Yeah.
Some schools have budgets.
Yeah. Joseph, do you run into that at SCPA? People donating harps that need a lot of work.
I have a couple of fun examples of that. There was one time the secretary called me on my desk phone and said, someone brought in a harp to donate. You should come look at it. You should wear gloves.
Oh.
Yeah, that one did not stay.
Yeah.
There was another time someone gave us a harp that had a massive crack down the middle, like it was going to explode.
Yikes.
But an example of ethical things to do with these instruments, they're actually... So here in America, there is one harp factory that makes the big harps, only one, and they're in Chicago. Rather than bringing a tech from Chicago out here constantly, a lot of us harpists learn the very basics. And I've done a lot of just on my own physical tweaks and things here at school. But there are some freelance folks who work on instrument repairs, and we actually sold the instrument to a freelance repair person who was doing a workshop on how do you rebuild a harp. Hmm. So he was able to, in his program, take this harp that we couldn't use and teach how to take it apart and put it back together.
Oh, great. Does Cincinnati Public Schools have a budget for restoring donated instruments or kind of bringing them back to life if they need repairs?
To a certain degree, we bring in a tech from Chicago once a year to do some general maintenance beyond what my schools can cover. But we usually don't get too many harps that are that far gone. Most of them, either me or the once a year tech, can get them back into working order.
Yeah. I want both of you to talk about, I'll start with you, Bruce, what other kinds of things students can learn, what they get out of playing a musical instrument, even beyond learning that musical instrument. Bruce, what's the value even beyond learning to play the trumpet or the harp?
Well, learning to play an instrument basically provides many tools for life. It's a team sport. You don't have to be tall. You don't have to be fast on the field. But musical gathering, an orchestra, a marching band, is a team where no member of that team is more important than another. It also is a mechanism to instill self-esteem, socialization skills. There's mathematics involved. There's hand-eye coordination involved. And when you put that into one package, it basically enriches the life and the future of young people who we're hoping are the future of this country.
Joseph, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, when your students are learning to play harp, can that help them in their other classes too?
Mm-hmm. I have a wonderful example of a student who joined kind of midway. Most of my students, my program starts in fourth grade, and the majority of mine, that's when they start and they keep playing. But I do have some venues for older students as a beginner to join in. And I have a student who, this is his second year in the program, And when I first had him join, he was kind of all over the place, trouble focusing, trouble to really engaging. But as time went on and I did more and more working on, okay, how do we practice? How do we read the music? How do we really get into the details of this? He learned how to organize his work, follow a routine, and focus. And recently, a class one bell before mine did their exams early, had some free time. And the teacher said, how about you just go practice for your harp exam coming up? So for two bells in a row, an hour and a half, he just sat at the harp, didn't say a word, and just practiced. And I'm like, who are you? Where'd this come from? This is amazing. Being able to just bring it all in and just focus.
I imagine that's got to help him with other classes,
too. Oh, definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
I should have mentioned the word discipline.
Yes.
Which Scott's giving a perfect example of.
Yeah. So, you know, we kind of alluded to this, but so many school districts across Ohio are facing budget cuts. Bruce, you mentioned that music and arts education programs can be the first to go. Are you really worried right now in this moment that music education programs could suffer?
The trend has been that funding for those programs has been diminishing year after year. And though we don't know what an exact projection will be for the future, based on the trend of the economy in general, I think we can expect to see that kind of funding decrease even more.
Hmm. All right. Do you have concerns about that, Joseph?
SCPA is very fortunate that we have a pretty robust outside fundraising arm. And also our community here is very supportive of our program. But even for us, looking at the budget we get from CPS, it's never been enough for any instruments, but enough to cover like, oh, I need a new harp bench or I need some replacement strings. But even that, looking towards next year, it's been getting smaller and smaller and smaller every year as things get tighter and tighter.
Yeah. Well, Bruce, let's get into the details. What kind of instruments will Music Matters Ohio be accepting, and when is this drive happening?
Well, let me start with the day of the drive, which is Saturday, May 30th, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and all of the locations are listed on our website, which is musicmattersohio.org. We will accept any kind of instrument, but with a focus on strings, reeds, brass, marching band instruments, basically anything that's playable and in decent shape, because we will always find a home for it.
And here in Cincinnati, am I remembering correctly, is it at the School for the Creative and Performing Arts that drive is happening?
Yes.
Joseph, what I know you're obviously very focused on the harp program, but I'm sure there are lots of other programs at SCPA where musical instruments are involved. Is the need pretty common there? I mean, are these donated instruments of any kind helpful for the students who are going to SCPA?
Oh, yes. And beyond even just SCPA itself, out of all parts of CPS, we are obviously the most visible as the art school, but we very often we'll say, okay, we recently got, for example, let's just say for a made-up number, 20 violins. We don't really need all 20 of those right now. Hey, other Withrow, do you need some violins? And then we'll share things within the district based on where we think that makes the most difference.
Yeah. And
no, it doesn't.
Oh, please go ahead.
Just say, what's also interesting in my experience is that we will get an instrument of extreme high value. And let's say it was a cello that's worth $15,000. We don't want to place a cello of that value in one of the schools, but we'll take that cello, sell it on the, you know, the secondary market, and then with those funds, turn it into a great amount of lesser, you know, valued instruments. I call it the kind of turning a log into toothpicks.
Joseph, I wish everybody could see how vigorously he was shaking his head in agreement about not putting a $15,000 cello into a school.
When I mentioned earlier that the professional harp we just bought recently was $25,000, there are harps out there that are covered in gold leaf, crazy ornate. We don't need one of those in a room with nine-year-olds.
Fair enough. Nine-year-olds can get sticky.
Yes. Yeah. I want that gold leaf staying on the harp, not their fingers.
Yeah. Fair enough. Well, What would your message be, Joseph, as a teacher who is with kids every day, who are finding their passion for these instruments and for music education? What would your message be to people out there who are listening and thinking, I got something in the basement, but I don't know if it would work? What would your message be?
There are so many students out there who might be struggling a little bit figuring out for their future of like, I guess math's okay, I kind of like science, but the arts is where they really just feel like they belong and they click. Having enough instruments makes a huge difference for those kinds of kids looking for their place.
Yeah. Bruce, I'm guessing you would sign on to that too.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, again, this is the Music Matters Ohio Instrument Drive. It'll be happening Saturday, May 30th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. You can find locations all over the state at musicmattersohio.org. And here in Cincinnati, it'll be at the School for the Creative and Performing Arts. I've been talking with Music Matters Ohio State Director Bruce Garfield and School for the Creative and Performing Arts harp teacher Joseph Redman. Thank you both so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Harper Carlton. Technical director today is Ella Rowan. And Rob Fetters composed our theme music. If you miss our program live, you can find Cincinnati Edition wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Lucy May. Thank you so much for listening.